Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Global Spiritual Revolution Radio here with your host, moderator, and guest rabbinical teacher, Bishop Larry Gators. I'm excited again for another new week of apostolically imparting into you the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer, part number 5 tonight. You can call us in right now with your questions or your Q&A, and I know a lot of you have unanswered questions from last week, and I'm going to try my best to answer some of them. If I can't answer all of your questions from last Friday tonight, I promise you, by the help of the Lord, amen, we will be able to do that on this coming Friday. You can call us in right now in our studios live. We are Samya Casting, both out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in our studios also here in New York City at 929-477-3997. Again, 929-477-3997. You can email me or text message me your questions or your Q&A at etapresidingbishop@yahoo.com. That's etapresidingbishop@yahoo.com. You can also send any and all text messages concerning the teachings of tonight or the teachings from the past several weeks here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio to our Skype inbox, which is ETA Ministries. It's all one word, ETA Ministries 2016. You can also listen to us on the World Wide Web at www.blogtalkradio.com/Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. And last but never least, you can also listen to us live on Facebook as well as Twitter and iTunes around the world. All right, I'm telling you, I want to get to these questions first from last week. And I thank God for you, our Global Spiritual Revolution partners all over the world. You have been so faithful to us for the past 7 years, and you've made us constantly on the top, within the top five Blog Talk Radio programs on the air today. All right, let's get to the word of the Lord. Before we get into the word, amen, I want to go into a quick word of prayer. I feel a great anointing here tonight in the studios. Eternal God, our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, I pray that you will pour down a apostolic grace and an apostolic anointing upon me tonight, Lord. I know, Lord, that you don't need me, but I need you, and I know that you have need of me, and I pray, God, that you will anoint my tongue that I may speak what you're speaking, and anoint my eyes that I may see what you are seeing, and most of all, anoint my mind that I may think and teach what you are thinking here tonight in Jesus' name. All right, let me get to some of the questions from last week. One of the questions is from one of our Revolution prayer partners and audience, faithful audience members, Allison, out of Houston, Texas. Her question last week, and I'm sure Prophet Jefferson Key Pierre of the Heavenly Christ Ministries International will answer that as well on tomorrow. He will be here on the air tomorrow from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Allison's question is, what is the difference between a talent, a gift, and a skill? What is the difference between a talent, a gift, and a skill? Well, Sister Allison, a talent, as taught by Christ in the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, a talent is a natural-born gifting that you and any other person may be anointed to have from birth. That's a natural talent. Some people have a talent to play different types of musical instruments. That's a natural birth talent. You're born with it. That's a natural gifting. The term gift, however, comes from the Greek word charismata, which actually means supernatural endowment. Gift, again, the term gift in the Greek Hellenistical text, it means charismata, signifying special supernatural endowment. When Christ, according to what Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, downloads his gift, because Christ is the giver of the gift. Christ is the gift, and he is the giver of the gifts. All right? So I want to make that clear that a talent is natural born. You're born with a natural talent. There's a lot of people in the world, beloved, who are very talented. They're gifted from birth, but they're not actually the recipient of a spiritual gift, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, because that spiritual gift, the gift, comes by way of being born again. When you are born again in Christ, according to St. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, you're born into a new kingdom. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's one kingdom, the kingdom of carnality, or also the kingdom of heaven on this terra firma, the earth. And then there is that which is born of the Spirit, is spirit, all right? That's the second kingdom, or the greater kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. So a talent you're born with, but a spiritual gift, Christ gives that to you at the inception of you being born again. Now, one of the questions that was texted to me today from Jose from Bogota, Colombia, and it's a very valid question. If I don't get into his question today, I promise you Prophet Jefferson Key and I will get into that tomorrow. And his question was, what is the difference between receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives you to utterance, versus having the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? That's a very, very good question, and I'm going to get into that before the end of the broadcast. If I don't get to it tonight, God willing, we will get to it tomorrow. All right. What is the difference between you receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the outward evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives you the utterance, versus the gift of tongues as taught by St. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. So a talent you're born with, a gift you are supernaturally born with as you are being born again as a child of God. And a skill, the term skill then comes from a Aramaic interpretation. It actually means wisdom. It actually means insight. It's the ability how to use the first two levels, which is your talent and your gift. You know, beloved, that's a very good question, Allison. Thank you so much. You see, there's a lot of talented people in the world, but they don't have the gifts of the Spirit because they're not born again. And at the same time, there are a lot of talented and gifted people in the body of Christ who have both. They're possessed with both talent and supernatural endowments of gifts, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, but they don't have, beloved, the wisdom nor the insight how to use both talent and gift. So I hope and pray to God that that question, which is really probably one of the most thoughtful and powerful questions we've had here on Blog Talk Radio through Global Spiritual Revolution in a long time. All right, the difference between talent, gifts, and skill. A talent you're born with, a gift Christ gives you through your born-again experience, because Christ is the giver of the gifts, that's charismata, gifts, and skill signifies the wisdom and the insight of how to operate your talent in your gift. All right, thank you, Allison, for that question from last Friday, 929-477-3997. Boy, I feel a great anointing already. This is Bishop Larry Gators, your host, moderator, and guest rabbinical teacher here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. The next question I want to get to from last Friday is from Mike from St. Louis, Missouri, and Prophet and I got into this question briefly last Friday, but Mike's question was David a seer? And the answer to that is no, David was not a seer. At times, God gave David insight, specifically when he faced Goliath, all right, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the 17th chapter. The number 17 is a number of spirit in orders. And so God gave David a searing anointing for a minute or for a moment to see into the weakness of the system, Goliath, also called Illuminatia, which is actually a Latin Vulgate word meaning simply Illuminati. So no, David was not a seer, but David was anointed king. He was a king in 1 Samuel 16:13. Two, David was a prophet. Yes, he was. In Acts chapter 2, verse 30, remember on the day of Pentecost, St. Peter, the apostle, gave the first apostolic post-Pentecostal church message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, that David was anointed to be a prophet. Yes, Acts 2 and 30, David was a prophet. And three, David was a priest. Oh, yes, he was. After the order of Melchizedek. Now, a lot of scholars believe in Psalm 110 verse 4 that David was only talking about Christ. That is half true. He was talking about Christ as coming not just in the order of Melchizedek, but Christ came with a greater priesthood than that of Melchizedek. And incidentally, students, Melchizedek was the theophanic form of God. Now, the term theophanic, theophanic is spelled capital T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-I-C. Theophanic is actually a Greek word meaning the manifestation of God. So there were situations in times and places throughout the Holy Writ, specifically in the Old Testament, where God would manifest himself either through an angel, like he did with one of the three angels that spoke to Sarah about having a child, Isaac, about one of the three angels that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. One of those angels was actually God in a theophanic form. Also, the God manifested himself in the book of the Judges through an angelic cherubim in speaking to the parents of Samson concerning the birth of a coming great judge, and that's Samson. And so, you know, we have to understand, saints, that God can do whatever he wants to do through he wants to do it through whom. And so God appeared through Melchizedek in that theophanic form. So getting back to David, David was a priest. Also forever after the order of Melchizedek in Psalm 110, verse 4. And remember quickly, in St. Luke chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Jesus Christ made mention that King David ate of the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest only. So yes, David was a king, David was a prophet, Acts 2 and 30, and David was a priest. Psalm 110, verse 4, and also St. Luke, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, where Jesus said, amen, that David ate of the show bread, which was not lawful for him, but for the priests only, which meant that David's Davidic anointing was such on a level that not even Solomon and Saul in the kings of Israel could master. All right, to another question here. So back to you, Mike. David was not a seer. At times, God used him to see into the supernatural, but no, David was not a seer, because remember, David's cabinet and David's apostolic administration was full of seers and prophets. Some of his personal seers was the seer Itto, okay? Some of his personal prophets were Nathan, and also another personal seer of David was the prophet Gad, all right? And you'll find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 9. So if David was a seer, why would David need personal seers? No, so David was not a seer. All right, God bless you, Brother Mike in St. Louis, Missouri. I believe we have another. Let me get back to David real quick. The Lord had revealed this to me today, and we're going to get into the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 9. Remember, under the Old Covenant, through the Mosaic Law, also called the Law of Moses, the Torah, God instituted the age requirement for the Levitical priest to be 30 years old and over. Excuse me, 30 years old and under. A priest under the Mosaic law of Moses, or Moshe, which also means man of the Torah in the Hasidical Hebrew text, God set the law through Moses for every Levitical priest to be 30 years old or younger, okay? Some passages of scriptures that says 30 years old and upward. But the age requirement for a man to enter priesthood under the Mosaic law, specifically, you'll find that in 1 Chronicles, okay? Chapter 23, verse 3, that when God commanded Moses to number the priests, the Levites, at the age of 30 years old and what? Upward. It's interesting that Jesus Christ started his public ministry in the Gospels at age 30, thus fulfilling not only the law of Moses, which Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law or the prophets or the Torah. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But Jesus Christ brought a greater kingdom and a greater apostolic priesthood, okay? And also, when King David came along, much later in 1 Chronicles, chapter 23, verse number 27, God, in the Chronicles, tells us that David was led of the Lord to anoint, to ordain, and also to appoint the Levitical priest, now coming down from 30 years old down to 20 years old. So 1 Chronicles 23 and 3, Moses was commanded by the Lord, praise God, amen, to number the priest to go into the Levitical priesthood. So you had to be at least 30 years old or upward, 30 years old or older. Now, when you reached the age of 50, you had to retire and teach in the tabernacle, all right? So that's very interesting. So in 1 Chronicles 23 and 3, the priests could enter the ministry at age 30, and of course, David subtracted that by 10 years in 1 Chronicles 23 and 27 by 20 years, all right, 20 years old or upward. Now, 30 plus 20 is what? 50. 50 is a number of Pentecost. All right. I feel an anointing here. 929-477-3997. Again, 929-477-3997. Thank you so much, Mike, for that question. Another question quickly. A question from Eric from Friday. He called in from Vancouver, British Columbia. Thank you. On the western side of the great nation of Canada. His question was, does all dreams and visions come from God? Do all dreams and visions come from God? And the answer to that is no. Every dream and every vision does not come from God. There are what we call counterfeit dreams and counterfeit visions that come from the devil. Now, remember, the devil has three dimensions of darkness. He is Lucifer, the star or the star that fell. He is he's not the morning star. Jesus Christ, amen, is the bright and morning star. He is the bright and morning star. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12, the Hasidical interpretation of the word Lucifer, now again, when you spell it backwards rabbinically, it becomes a Latin word refico, which means the recycling of fecal matter. So Lucifer is a falling star. He is the anointed cherub, according to Ezekiel chapter 28, that covereth. All right. Now, I got to say something, too. I might not even get into the teacher tonight. Maybe the Lord wants me to go over some of these questions. I've got to tell you a heavy revelation, and I hope and I pray to God that you hear me tonight. And this is Bishop Larry Gators. You can call this in right now at 929-477-3997. The original interpretation of the name or the word Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. You got to understand, students, that before, prior to the year 1611, prior to King James the First interpreting the word of the Lord, he actually took out the word day star and put in the word Lucifer. And this is radical revelation here. Prior to 1611, prior to King James the First of England commissioning 350 bishops through the council there in throughout the courts of England, okay, he had reinterpreted Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, he removed the word or the term day star. Now, there are so many erroneous teaching out there today saying that Jesus Christ is the day star. No, Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. Lucifer, according to Isaiah 14 and 12, the original Hasidical Hebrew interpretation before King James interpreted that verse in Isaiah 14 and 12, it was not Lucifer. Lucifer is actually a Latin Vulgate expression, which also means day star. But that word Lucifer was not in the original text. It was actually day star. Now, I got to say this today. There are a lot of churches called day star, and there's a particular Christian station called day star. And I have to say this. This is revelation. I did not intend to go this route, but I'm telling you, Lucifer's name, according to the Hasidical Hebrew text, prior to 1611, prior to King James, in the court of England, with the 350 bishops that were commissioned by King James, that word Lucifer was once stated as day star. And so we have to be careful. A lot of you churches calling yourself day star Baptist, day star Pentecostal, or many radio and television stations. I won't say who, but because I have to use wisdom. That's not the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not the nature of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That the term Daystar is the original Hebrew interpretation or name of the name or the word Lucifer. This is Radical Revelation. Call us in right now, 929-477-3997. I promise you, I did not mean to go this route, but this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We will get to part five, the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer. Quickly, thank you, Eric, for that. So all dreams and visions do not come from God. Now, the question is, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? Well, a dream is conceived in your spirit, and a vision is birthed in your spirit. So a dream is conceived by God, normally by prophets. And we're talking about the distinction between the office of the prophet in the place of the seer. The term dream in its original Hebrew, Sephardical Hebrew interpretation, means the conception of God in the prophet. It's the conception of what God shows the prophet in his spirit. But the vision is not the same as the dream. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That scripture that Solomon declared there in the book of Proverbs, it actually means where there is no seer, the people perish. Ah, why would Solomon say that? Because during the reign of Solomon, there were many prophets, but very few seers. And that's why Solomon, the wisest man before Christ, said what he said in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision or where there is no seer, the people perish. So a dreamer is conceived by God, and a visionary is endowed with insight by God through birth. So a dream is conceived through a prophet. A vision is birthed in a seer. Call us in right now, 929-477-3997. And you got to listen to this, saints. There are three different types of visions. There is vision, okay? There is provision, and there is activation vision. Vision, provision, and vision that has become activated. So during Solomon's time, again, there were many prophets, but very few seers. And I love what 1 Samuel chapter 1 said concerning the birth of Samuel. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, there was no prophets and no seers. You can call this in right now. Oh, my God. The lighting board, the studio board is lighting up again. Thank you so much. We got callers also calling in from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We got callers right now also from Peoria, Illinois, Houston, Texas again, Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, and also our friends out of Nuremberg, Germany, amen, as well as Sheffield, England. We even got a caller, praise God, the three callers calling in from Bangkok, Thailand. Welcome to Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Now, here's a question from, again, well, Eric from Vancouver, all dreams and visions do not come from God, okay? So a dreamer, the gift of dreaming was endowed upon the prophets of old, okay? The gift as a visionary was endowed by God to the seers of old. Now, today, God can still speak to us through dreams and visions, but he now does it through his spirit, the Holy Spirit, all right? Call us in right now at 929-477-3997 here at Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. You can email us your questions or your comments at etapresidingbishop@yahoo.com. We have another question from last actually from last Tuesday, and I apologize to you, Victor. You had called into the program and texted a message to me. Victor is from Johannesburg, South Africa. His question is, since God knows all things and knows all thoughts, does God know what the devil is thinking? Absolutely, yes. God is God. He is not only omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time. He's not only omnipotent, the God that has all power, but Christ is also omniscient. He is the God that has all knowledge. So, yes, God does know what the devil is thinking, but the question is, does the devil know what God is thinking? Absolutely not. The devil does not know what the Lord is thinking. And the two-prong part of his question is, since we know that God knows what we're thinking, do we know what God is thinking? Absolutely, yes. When you are baptized in his spirit, endowed with apostolic mantles of graces, according to Ephesians 4 and 11, and you are interconnected to the consciousness of Christ, yes, not only does God know what you're thinking, but you know what God is thinking because God's thought is speaking through you. Every time you teach, every time you apostolically impart into someone's life, you are saying and teaching and voicing what God is thinking. Oh, my God. Call us in right now, 929-477-3997. The board is lighting up again tonight. Thank you so much. So, yes, Victor from Johannesburg, not only does God knows all, he's omniscient. Okay, he's omniscient, he knows all, but he also knows what the devil is thinking. But the question is, does the devil know what we are thinking? Does the devil know what we are thinking? If you are in Christ, if you are walking according to the precepts of the word of the Lord and of the gospel that Jesus Christ preached, okay, no, then you are protected from Satan. Satan doesn't know what you're thinking. The only way the devil knows what you're thinking, if you are opening up your mouth and telling visions and dreams too soon to too many people, just like Joseph did in the book of the Genesis. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble by running our mouths, telling our dreams and our visions too soon to too many people. So the only way the devil can know what you're thinking if you open your mouth. But if you are interconnected to God, not only do you know what the devil is thinking, and thereby you can expose the devil, but the devil does not and will never know what you're thinking. And that's the reason why the devil wanted to bring down Adam. Because remember in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, there was a difference between the garden and then the place called Eden. And there's a lot of scholars who believe that when God kicked Adam out of the garden, he kicked him out of Eden. The Bible never said that God excommunicated Adam from Eden. He excommunicated Adam from the garden, which was on the east side of Eden. So the garden had no time. It was timeless. It was timelessness. It was eternal. It was eternity. As long as Adam and the woman, his wife, who later became Eve, remember the first and last letters of the word Adam is A-M. So Adam is created as the A-M of the morning students. His wife Eve was created as the P-M of the evening. As long as Adam and his wife stayed in the garden and not touched the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the devil could never hear what Adam and the woman was saying to God. And the only reason why the devil wanted to bring them down, because he could not hear what Adam was saying to God in prayer. That's a heavy revelation. All right, call us in right now, 929-477-3997. So thank you for your question, Victor. God knows all thoughts, and yes, God knows not only what we are thinking, but what the devil is thinking. But the devil would never know what we're thinking as long as we are interconnected to Christ, all right? But we will always know at the same time what Satan is thinking. Remember, Satan is a threefold dimensionality of darkness. He's Lucifer, L, Satan, S, Devil, D, LSD. Call us in right now, 929-477-3997. Thank you, Victor, from Johannesburg, South Africa. I do apologize that you had to wait a week to get your question answered. Praise God. And I'm going to ask you guys a question, and I'm going to let you guys answer it by tomorrow, okay? And now here's the question. What is the difference between the gift of discernment and versus that of reading? What is the difference between discernment or the gift of discernment versus reading? Okay? Because a lot of people in the church, and specifically, beloved, a lot of leaders are teaching that it's okay to read people. And they're saying that Jesus read people. That's a lie. Jesus never read people. Jesus knew what people were thinking through discernment because Christ is discernment. You have to understand, beloved, that whatever Christ has in truth as the truth, the devil always has a counterfeit. So the true gift is the gift of discernment, which is given by the Lord Jesus Christ, First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through that entire chapter, specifically the first seven verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the gift chapter. It's in chapter 12 because the number 12 is a number of apostolicity, apostolic structure. So that's, Paul never makes mention of the gift of reading. Reading is a counterfeit form of discernment that Satan gives. You have to understand the students out there. Oh my God, you guys are calling me. You guys are sending right now. You're sending text messages right now. I want you to hear me. Discernment, the gift of discernment, comes from Christ. Whereas there is a counterfeit gift of discernment, which comes from Satan, called reading. You got to understand, students, that a true prophet or prophetess or a seer spiritually discerns. But a counterfeit prophet, prophetess, and a counterfeit seer that the devil has ordained, even in some of these churches today, they read. They read not only your mind, but they read your palm. That's not discernment. That's witchcraft. My God, call us in right now. 929-377, 929-477-3997. Quickly, I want to spend about 5 more minutes with you. I do apologize for not getting into the teaching tonight. I knew the Spirit of the Lord would lead me this way, praise God, to answer your question. So, all right, 929-477-3997. We got callers calling in for the first time. Looks like from Bangkok, Thailand. We got two callers calling in from Singapore. My God. God is reaching the nations through the International Radio Ministry of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Now, I want to get to one scripture. Again, I want you guys, looks like I already gave you the answer. What is the difference between between the gift of spiritual discernment versus the counterfeit gift called reading? All right, I want you to turn right now to one scripture, and we're done tonight, and to the book of the Revelation, the book of Revelation of St. John the Divine, the Apostle St. John, in chapter number 1. This is some heavy, heavy teaching here tonight. I wish to God that I had enough time to go into the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer, but we will get to that tomorrow through our guests. Prophet Jefferson Key Pierre of West Palm Beach, Florida. All right, one more verse, and we will complete the teaching here tonight through this Q&A session. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 11. Now, remember I asked you a couple of minutes ago, what is the difference between the gift of discernment versus the counterfeit gift of discernment called reading, which the devil gives? The answer is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. It says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, that is Christ, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. What thou seest, now Christ is speaking to John, St. John, the apostle whom Christ loved in the Spirit. John was part of the apostolic inner circle of Peter, James, and then John. John established the first church, the apostolic church, on the Isle of Patmos and throughout the Greek Empire. Now here in Revelation 1 and 11, what thou seest, not only was John an apostle and a bishop throughout the Greek regions of Crete and Patmos, including the nation of Greece, but also John was a seer. Here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. Now notice the first three churches, and we will wrap this up tonight here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Look at the first three churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos. These first three churches, according not just to rabbinical history of both Old and New Testament, specifically New Testament, and also through the writings of Flavius Josephus, a New Testament apostolic historian, he says, according to what John is saying, that witchcraft, warlockism, and the counterfeit gift that the devil gives called reading or ESP. There was a question that was posed to me some months ago here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, more than several months ago, maybe up to a year ago. And I'll never forget this question. This was a bishop. I won't say from what church, from what state or organization. This was a Pentecostal bishop who told me that ESP came from God. I said, the devil is a lie. Now notice here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, the first three churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos were inundated with witchcraft, warlockism, cultism, occultism. They were inundated with the counterfeit gift called ESP. Now, the term ESP means extrasensory perception. Extrasensory perception. Again, extrasensory perception. In other words, God gives us a true gift of discernment, which is Him. We discern through His Spirit. Now, there's a counterfeit to that, which comes from the devil. He tries to give you something extra in your senses. I feel an anointing. The devil always tries to give you something extra in your senses to inundate your perception. That's what ESP means. It's a counterfeit form of discernment. The true discernment, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the gift of discernment that comes from Jesus Christ. And there is a counterfeit form which comes from the devil. Like I said a few moments ago, students, that everything that is truth in Christ, there's also a counterfeit that comes from the devil. So notice the first letters of Ephesus, E, Pergamos, P. I want you to look at this. Ephesus, E, Smyrna, S, and Pergamos, P. Now go through that. So let's go through this again. I told you ESP, extrasensory perception, was inundated, saturated as a part of the foundational culture of the churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos before the apostles, specifically St. John, entered into those cities. The first letter of Ephesus is capital E. The first letter of Smyrna is capital S. And the first letter of Pergamus is capital P, ESP. We're going to end it there tonight, Saints. I'm telling you, I didn't even get into more of the questions that were sent to me last Friday and also yesterday as well. We didn't have a program yesterday, but you sent more of your text messages to my email inbox. You also sent many more text messages through Facebook Messenger, through Twitter, and iTunes as well. And I'm telling you, this is powerful. I thank God for you, my students. You are my students from all over the world. And I want to thank the Lord for my new students coming in from Southeast Asia, from Bangkok, Thailand, from Singapore. Praise God. Thank you so much. Remember in Revelation 1 and 11, the first three churches before the apostles laid the foundation in those areas of Christ, those areas of Ephesus, E, Smyrna, S, Pergamus, P, ESP, those first three churches and those first three regions were saturated in darkness. And this is the reason why every apostle is so important in the body of Christ, because God sent John not just to the region of Ephesus, to the region of Pergamus, and to the regions of Smyrna, but he sent him throughout the churches of Asia Minor to plant Christ where Christ was not even named. We thank the Lord right now. All right. Our Q&A tonight, I did not get into part five of the teaching, the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer. Yes. And you got the same text messages right now. Allison, thank you. You got another a quick question. She's from Houston, Texas. Again, she wants me to go over Revelation 1 and 11 and just say where ESP, or that counterfeit gift that the devil gives, and what churches were they located in before John laid the foundation of Christ. Okay, Ephesus, circle the first letters of Ephesus, E, Smyrna, S, Pergamus, P, that's ESP. Now, ESP means extra sensory perception. That is a counterfeit form of discernment that the devil gives. So I want you prophets and seers to hear me. If you are a true prophet, a true seer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a gift of reading, because the devil gives humanity that gift. That's a counterfeit form of discernment. God hasn't ordained us to read palms and to read spirits and to read minds. No, the word of the Lord says that Jesus always perceived through spiritual perception the minds of the people. That's the gift of discernment. So you prophets and seers, you have to stop telling your people, stop telling your churches and wherever you go to minister throughout the world, you got to stop saying, I'm reading you in the name of the Lord. No, 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 no. God is not in that. You got to say that I am spiritually discerning, because the gift of discernment, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the gift that Jesus Christ gave you, because Jesus Christ is discernment in a body. He is the gift of discernment. Now, there's a counterfeit form of that. That's reading. The reading is a counterfeit form of the gift of discernment. And I told you guys about 5 minutes ago, and I will end the show tonight on that note. Christ is truth. The devil is a counterfeit. Whatever Christ has in truth, the devil always has a counterfeit. And you know what? The Holy Ghost just told me just now. Remember I said on last Friday with my guest, Prophet Jefferson Key Pierre, I said that after the baptism of Jesus from Jordan, his own spirit leads him into the wilderness. Remember in Matthew chapters 4 and 3 and St. Luke chapter 4 and 3. Jesus Christ is the master seer. Okay, I want to read those two scriptures quickly because I want to clarify what I said, all right, in connection to our subject, the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer, okay? Now, look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and go to Luke 4 and 3 quickly. Matthew 4 and 3, and when the tempter, that's Lucifer, Satan, came to him, to Christ, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He says, command that these stones be made bread. Now, there are many scientists, and we're going to go to Luke 4 and 3 here in a minute. There are many scientists, many of them that are scholars in examining rocks and stones. And those specific scholars are called petrologists. A petrologist is a science that studies the formation, the composition, and the structure of stones and rocks. Okay, that's a petrologist. They study the art of rocks. And a lot of scientists say, as you're turning now to Luke 4 and 3, that words, people's words, are actually embedded in stones. And remember what Jesus said in the gospel. If these hold their peace, the rocks or the stones would what? Cry out. He said that for a reason. So in Luke 4 and 3, the devil says, command these stones. I believe Jesus, as the master seer, saw in his spirit the words of Lucifer, who is Satan the devil today. Those words of Satan were embedded in those stones. And Jesus the seer, the master seer, saw the demonic language and the demonic dialect within these stones in Matthew 4 and 3. Now go to Luke 4 and 3. This is powerful here. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 3. And the devil said unto him, he's also the tempter from Matthew 4 and 3, we're in Luke 4 and 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, the body of God, the flesh of God, command, he didn't say these stones, like he said back in Matthew 4 and 3. Now the devil is saying, command this stone be made bread. Now, notice the words this and stone. I want you to go to Matthew 21:42. The Holy Ghost does not want me to stop right now. I want to go for about 3 to 5 minutes, and we'll be finished tonight. But I wanted to clarify this, what I started last Friday, to make sure we are all on the same spiritual page, okay, and that there be no confusion. All right, Matthew chapter 21, verse number 42. Now look at this. Chapter 21, verse 42 of Matthew. It says, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scripture the stone? Now remember, Luke 4 and 3, the devil comes to Jesus and says, command this stone that it be made bread. Command this stone, not stones like he did in Matthew 4 and 3, as in plurality of stones. Since Jesus got the victory over the devil in Matthew 4 and 3, the devil comes back in Luke 4 and 3 and says, command this stone that it be made bread. Now in Matthew 21 and 40, Jesus says, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? He's the chief cornerstone, according to what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 20. Now we're in Matthew 21:42. This stone is become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You know what the devil was saying, both in Matthew 4 and 3 and specifically in Luke 4 and 3? What the devil was saying, I want you, Jesus the Christ, to command this stone in not just Matthew 4 and 3 stones, but I want you to command this stone singular in Luke 4 and 3, and I want you to transfer the stone that my words are already in the stone, and I want you to command this stone in Luke 4 and 3, Luke 4 and 3, command this stone that it be made bread. So if Jesus had have done that and then transferred that stone which possess the words of a fallen creature, who is Lucifer, Satan, the devil today, LSD. Then Lucifer, who is Satan, the devil, would have became the chief cornerstone and not Jesus Christ. Woo, I feel an anointing here. Oh, my God. I wish I had more time. So the reason why I brought those scriptures up last Friday in Matthew 4 and 3 and Luke 4 and 3, I wanted to bring clarity. I thank God for people, amen, who love me in the ministry, amen, who want the best for me, that will bring out wisdom. So I wanted to bring clarity. Now, in Luke 4 and 3, including Matthew 4 and 3, specifically Luke 4 and 3, Jesus Christ is the master seer. He saw the words of Satan embedded in the stone. And Satan wanted Jesus to take that stone, make it into bread, so that Jesus can partake of not only Satan, who wanted to be the chief cornerstone, but also Satan wanted Jesus to make Satan, who is the devil, the Last Supper. The devil is a lie. Oh, my God, I'm telling you, I wish we had more time tonight, saints. But remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are here to raise the consciousness of man to become the consciousness of Jesus Christ. God bless you in Jesus' name. Now, tomorrow night from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., we will have the prophet of God, the seer of the Lord, Jesus Christ, back in our studios here in both Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Samia Casting through Blog Talk Radio out of Toronto, and in Times Square through Blog Talk Radio here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. We were had back by popular demand. The man of God, I'm telling you, he blew our minds last week, didn't he? Did he not, saints? The Honorable Prophet Jefferson Key Pierre, who is the senior pastor of the Heavenly Kingdom Christ Ministries there in the City of God, West Palm Beach, Florida, will be with us again for part number 5 of the distinction between the office of the prophet and the place of the seer. All right? Now, remember, saints, I want you to remember, every true prophet and seer has the gift of discernment in them. Every false prophet and false seer has a counterfeit form of discernment called the gift of reading, which the devil gives, okay? And according to Revelation 1 and 11, the first three churches of the seven churches of Asia Minor, which were Ephesus, capital E, Smyrna, capital S, and Pergamos, capital P, ESP, extrasensory perception, is the counterfeit form of discernment called reading. So when people say, I read you, that's ESP. That's not of the Lord. That's of the devil. Okay? Be very careful, prophets and seers. Don't say you read people. Say I am spiritually discerning. And this is the reason why my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We will see you tomorrow night from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio as we continue the series, The Distinction Between the Office of the Prophet and the Place of the Seer. We will see you tomorrow, God willing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.